What a blessing it is to worship and to join in the Spirit of the Lord and to open the Word of God. We are just beginning a summer series that I'm calling Walking with Pete. We are in the process of walking through the book of 1 Peter. Someone asked, well, are we going to do 2 Peter? I said, I'll let you know when we get there. But we are going to be in 1 Peter for a while during this summer season. And let me just remind you that last weekend we started getting to know Pete. And we started way back on the first day that Peter met Jesus. We went back to John chapter 1 where Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. And Jesus has a kind of a strange introduction. He tells him who he is. You are Simon, the son of John. Now, that's kind of peculiar. Somebody just tells you what your name is. Well, you're right. How did you know that? But then he says something more. He says, you shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. And the interesting thing I thought about this is Jesus will always tell you who you are if we'll listen, right? He'll tell you who you really are if we'll listen. And his Hebrew name was Shimon, Simon, and it means hearing. It means listening. And so he was listening, and this must have been an amazing moment for him. And I think to be hearing is the first step. It's always the first step. Are we hearing what he has for us? So Jesus gives him, it's not really a new name, Cephas. It's the Aramaic form or Aramaic translation of Peter. It comes from the Hebrew kephas, which means a hollow rock. And we talked about that last weekend, that he had this outward appearance of being strong and sturdy and tough. But the Lord was looking deeper than that. He always looks deeper than that. He essentially says, you're a hollow rock, Mr. Rock. And you have that outward appearance of strength, the tough exterior. But I need you to fill you up. I need to give you what you need on the inside, what you need from within. Anybody discovered that in your relationship with Jesus? It's an amazing moment if you think about that, and it's true of every one of us. Well, after the service last week, one of our people that you know, Bob Brandt, he came with this insight. He said, you know, another kind of hollow rock is a geode. Have you ever seen a geode? We would see them all the time in Colorado. I collect some other kind of rocks, but I don't collect geodes. They're very beautiful. But a geode is a volcanic rock with sparkling crystals on the inside, not on the outside. The beauty of a geode can only be seen after it's been broken. After it's been broken open or sawed open. They'll saw them open sometimes. And we really see that in the life of Peter. We've been studying it all week, the twists and turns. And every day this week, the children were studying a different aspect of how Peter, he was just that most unpredictable guy, but God was working, Jesus was working in his life. Pete, as I'm going to call him a lot of the time, he started out as this tough fisherman. The religious leaders in the book of Acts called him an unschooled common man. In fact, they were just shocked. He preached this amazing sermon after the Pentecost, and they said, how is this guy doing this? We know about him. We know he's unschooled. We know that he's a common man. He's a fisherman guy. Now, a lot of interpreters have taken the phrase there, the word in the Greek, to mean that he was illiterate. He could not write, didn't know anything of reading or writing, and that's not true. He almost certainly wrote and read in both Greek and Aramaic. He could certainly read Hebrew. He would have been raised reading Hebrew. So what do they mean? They meant he had no formal rabbinic training. He hadn't studied with the famous rabbis, with any rabbis, other than just a rabbi growing up in his town. We would say today that he was not a man of letters, or we might say of him, that he hadn't gone to seminary, or he's never gone to Bible school. That's what they were saying. How can he be saying these things? He's talking like a guy who knows how to argue with the rabbis. Where did that come from? Well, Holy Spirit was doing that inside of him. Holy Spirit was pouring into him on that day. Truth is that when the rock man was broken, Wow, is all I can say. There was a depth of faith. There was a wisdom and a character and an insight that was astonishing. And that's what we get when we get to 1 Peter. These are the only written words that we have from Peter. Our 1st and 2nd Peter. Those are the only books he wrote. As I told you last week, he never wrote a gospel. He influenced the gospel of Mark, but he never wrote a gospel. And some have even said that because of the theological depth of 1st and 2nd Peter, they say that could have never been written by a fisherman. Any fishermen here? That you should be offended by that. I know some fishermen that are deep thinkers, okay? But the truth is, these letters are among the oldest and most highly attested of the New Testament. These aren't questions. There are some books of the Bible that they say, well, there's some questions because they were a little bit later. We're not sure if this is the person that wrote them, and they argue about that. Not 1st and 2nd Peter. They say, this is way, way back. Attributed certainly to Peter, the apostle. So it's an amazing thing to see them being so robust in their truth. And the truth that we find there is that this kind of character and insight is actually revealed in brokenness. We're looking at Pete after 30 years. We're looking at Pete after he went through all those difficulties, all those moments of blurting out the wrong thing and getting his foot in his mouth and doing the wrong thing, stepping in the wrong direction and being corrected. So we're seeing him after a lot of work had been done. Don't you wish sometime that people would look at that in your own life? Yeah. Look at the product that's come over time. Now, people have often said that 1 Peter is about suffering. It's a book about suffering. You'll hear that a lot. And it's not really surprising because Peter refers to suffering 15 times in this one letter. And he used 8 different Greek words to describe. That's pretty amazing. 8 different types of Greek words to describe the suffering that was going on and that was predicted among believers. And a lot of Christians were suffering. They were beginning to suffer, mainly within the culture. But there was a severe suffering that was coming. Peter talks about a fiery trial that would soon begin. And it's the persecution under Nero. It's like the worst of the worst. Once Nero, crazy, insane Nero, begins to persecute the Christians. But I want to suggest to you that 1 Peter is not about suffering at all. It's about hope. And that's why, really, if you wanted to use a word that's an overarching theme across the whole book of 1 Peter, use the word hope, because you find it all the way through. Now, there are other themes, and we're beginning with hope on this first study, but we're going to talk about walking in holiness. We're going to talk about walking in harmony with one another. We're going to talk about walking under authority. We're going to talk about walking in a healthy home. This is all practical living. We're going to talk about walking with the attitude of Christ. The mind of Christ, that's something that we all need. We're going to talk about walking dependent on the Lord, in dependence on Him. Not independent, but dependence on Him. We're going to talk about walking with our eye on the sky for His return. How do we walk with expectation and anticipation? But really, the writings of Peter are preeminently about hope, and we don't want to miss that. You know, sometimes we call Paul the apostle of faith, and rightly so. I mean, he's the one that talks about being justified by faith. He talks about you are justified by faith and not by works, by grace through faith. I mean, faith is incredible. Book of Romans, all about faith. We talk about John as the apostle of love. He's the one that says, you know what? If you don't love, you don't know God. You don't got God. You have no God in you. If you don't love, wow, he's always really blunt and frank. But I think we could call Peter the apostle of hope. And it's from these letters that we gather that. I'm going to read on this weekend from 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read just 12 verses. But let's listen and open our hearts and our minds so that we hear the word of God speaking to us. You can find that on page 1014. In the blue edition of the Bible that's out there. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied in you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Now let's stand and let's give thanks. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the richness of this word. From your breath upon these pages and your breath into the heart of Peter, we pray that we might learn, that we might glean, that we might find the gems that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So these letters always begin with the question, now who is Pete writing to? And he defines it to the elect exiles of the dispersion. That's some fancy words. And he's basically saying, you are chosen and you are dispersed. He uses this word diasporia or diaspora, which is used about Jewish people all the time, even today. It refers to Jews who are separated from the homeland. If you're out in the world away from Israel, you're part of the diaspora. And then he names five regions: Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And all of those are northern Asia Minor. They would be today modern Turkey. And some of these have been dispersed there by specific persecution. But most were finding that as believers, they just didn't belong in the world. More and more, as they were changed, as God was changing them, they realized, we don't seem to fit here. Anybody familiar with that? Anybody? Yeah. I mean, we find that maybe more and more. The NIV translates this phrase, strangers in the world. And he's really identifying us, that you are strangers in the world. You sometimes feel like a stranger in this world. Maybe more and more, it seems, all the time. Really, because the world feels stranger and stranger all the time. And Paul taught in his letter to the Philippians that our citizenship is really in heaven. And so we are resident aliens here, is a good way to describe it. And so Pete begins to reveal what I'm going to call seven jewels in the geode. And these are seven jewels. These are seven descriptions of you as a believer. As, if I put it this way, as we are cracked open and as we are broken in this life, that these are the beautiful jewels that are within the geode of you and Pete and me. Do you sometimes feel like a stranger? Yeah. And so we're going to see this discovery. And it's often as events in this life crack us open. I talk to so many people who say it was in this time of brokenness that I really found out who I was in Christ. So the first jewel is you're going to be made holy. You're being made holy. He calls them exiles who are being sanctified of the Spirit. And we remember from some of our studies that sanctified is that fancy word that means you're looking more and more like Jesus. Jesus is holy. He doesn't need to be sanctified. He was holy. But you're becoming more and more holy. And these difficult times do the work of some of that sanctification as the Spirit works in us. And then he defines it. He says the purpose is for obedience to Jesus. That's what he's after. That's what holiness looks like, obedience to Jesus. The method is the sprinkling with his blood and how the Spirit works in us. The end result is that grace and peace are multiplied in you. I love that phrase. It's a lot more than just grace and peace. It's like grace and peace multiplied in you. What a fabulous phrase. I want that. You know, it's amazing as we look at this holy jewel of justification, because it's telling us we're chosen by the Father, we're purchased by the Son, and we're set apart by the Spirit. Now, next week, we're going to talk about walking in holiness specifically, but this gem is one we don't want to miss. The second jewel is that you are born again. Well, we talk about that a lot, but this is more. You are born again to a living hope. According to his great mercy, that's where it comes from. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Were it not for the mercy of God, we would still be dead in our trespasses and sin, the scripture tells us. Jesus said in John 3, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." So we know that. We must be born again. On Monday, we're going to celebrate baptisms. Baptism is a celebration for those who have been born again and want to identify with the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But we want to be careful. This isn't a jewel in your crown. It's a jewel in your heart initiated by God. It's a jewel that we see when we're broken open. Now, this hope is not a sort of whimsical wishing. You know, sometimes we say, "Are you going to go to the beach this weekend?" Well, I hope so. This is very different. Living hope is actually a phrase with two words. The Greek word is zao. Say that with me, zao. It has a D sound on the front, zao. And it means to be alive or quick or lively. The King James translates, "He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." Lively hope. The Greek word is elpais, and it means a confident expectation or anticipation. It's an active word. Faith is, we know, the evidence of things hoped for, that activity of hoping. Hope isn't something we muster up, and it's not a positive vibe that people talk about. Hope is something within us that God brings up from within us. Hope comes from God. And it rests upon the fact of the resurrection of Jesus that is in this text. It's the, when we sing about it, the same power that rolled the stone away. That's what we're hoping in. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The third jewel, get ready for this, you have an inheritance. It's like one of those letters, you know, you've inherited. Isn't that good news? Yeah. And so here's the inheritance. Our inheritance is, I love this, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. That's a really good inheritance. It's not the kind of inheritance that they argue over in probate court or that gets taxed. We inherit life that is eternal and abundant, and it starts right now. The Bible says that we are joint heirs with Christ. How many of you know that if you're a joint heir with Christ, you're not going to go to a place and have to squabble with Jesus over your share of the inheritance? You know, it happens so much these days. Not this inheritance. This is an amazing inheritance. Romans 8:17 says, we are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Now, the fourth jewel is that you are guarded. You've got security protection. Listen to this. By God's power, as we look inside the believer, you are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You're being guarded until that time. Someone say, praise God. We need that. 2 Thessalonians says, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. That's really powerfully good news. Philippians 4 says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the guarding that he does in us. The fifth jewel is you have joy. What a great thing. In this you rejoice. Verse 6. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. How many of you know we are going to be grieved by various trials? Yeah. There's tough stuff that we are going to go through. But he's reminding us that joy isn't happiness. Joy is this inner thing that God does in us. We can rejoice even when we have tears running down our faces. That's joy. That's the joy of the Lord. And actually, it's a fruit of the Spirit, the scripture tells us. It's active because we rejoice in worship. We choose to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. And then we learn that this joy of the Lord is our strength. That's an amazing jewel on the inside of the geode of you. The sixth jewel is that you will have genuine faith. Listen to this. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold. How many of you don't want to have fake faith? No. I want the genuine article. Well, that means it has to be tested. The tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it has been tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. So trials that we go through are refining our faith. You remember from the book of James, chapter 1, count it all joy. Count it all joy. I'm not saying that's easy. When you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, strength, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Boy, that's where I want to be. And the seventh jewel in the geode, you have faith that saves. You might wonder, why isn't that the first thing? It's what everything points to. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, salvation of your souls. What amazing good news we just heard. That in this ministry that we bring together, full of fun and antics and skits and songs and a lot of people getting together and decorating, 138 children committed their lives to Jesus. In whatever way they understand at this point, they committed their lives to Jesus. And what an amazing thing that is for them to look forward to, that salvation of their souls. Well, we know that it's by grace that you are saved through faith. It's not of our own doing. It's a gift of God. It's not the result of works. And we celebrate and rejoice in that. But this is the faith that saves us. So Pete tells us all this was foretold. In verse 10, he starts explaining it. He says, concerning the salvation, the prophets, they prophesied about the grace that was to be yours. They searched and inquired carefully. This was all in advance. Inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating. He's saying the Spirit of Christ was in them indicating, pointing, predicting the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. And those before us were not serving themselves. I love verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. All these things that they went through were for you. In the things that you have now been announced, that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things in which angels long to look for. Can you imagine? Things have been preached to you that angels want to know about. You know, it occurred to me, I was studying this and I thought, our predecessors in faith would not understand the me-centered church. They wouldn't get it. What are you talking about? You didn't like the coffee, or you didn't like, I didn't get fed, or, you know, these kinds of things. We get that way in our world, the me thing. They wouldn't get it. They would say, we did all this for you. It's all about coming for others. So those are the jewels of the geode, holiness and living hope, inheritance that is imperishable, power that guards you, the joy of the Lord, genuine faith that is tested, and faith that saves. All of that. Those are the seven jewels that are in the geode. I know I'm not telling you that word in Greek means geode, but it does say hollow rock. And I think it's an amazing thought to realize, especially when we're going through hard times, that in the breaking, in the brokenness, in the hard times of our life, that's where he's opening us up and revealing these amazing qualities, these amazing character and faith qualities within us. And so if we say, well, we're going to walk with Pete, in many ways we're saying that we're willing to walk that journey. You know, most of us realize you can't prevent the trials and the grief and the breaking, can you? But you can look for the jewels. Oh boy, can you look for the jewels. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. As we begin this journey with Peter, and I feel like already I'm just getting to know him better. Getting close to his words after this, these times of trial and the turns and the difficulties that he went through. And God, I pray that you'll minister deeply within us and show us the things that you may want to strip away so that you can fill us. And Lord, as we go through the difficulties, as there are moments of breaking, show us how to have our eye for the jewel that you want us to discover. In Jesus' name, amen.